Hey guys, it's us again. Guess what? It's Jen.
And it's Jerry.
And we are back for number, guess which one? Come on, you gotta know which one it is. 49. That's right, we got this one.
Yeah.
And three more will be our anniversary podcast. I'm so excited, I can't wait.
The big 50.
Oh yeah, well 52, but.
Right, right.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about the 50. We don't want to talk about the big 50. I'm still a year away. Hush.
Didn't we do your age episode a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I'll be 49 in March.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still a year away. So shush.
I can't wait personally to see the year 52.
Oh man.
Or the episode 52.
Well, you're going to see the year 52 before we see the... No, you're not. No, you're not. We're going to see the episode first.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and I have your birthday present safely hidden away. Yeah. You know I'm going to have to torture you with that every time I talk to you. You know.
Dot, dot, dot.
Have to. But anyway. Yeah, so we got a lot of birthdays coming up. We've got, you've got some kids that have a birthday coming up, and then my kid's birthday's just passed, and I've got another kid's birthday coming up, and then your birthday, and good gracious, Barry's birthday.
My oldest child is about to turn 18.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, your child.
Tomorrow.
You're a child who is already in college.
Yeah.
The nerd, but she's so sweet. We love her.
And she wants to be an artist.
And she will be a damn good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So, okay, so we can do this. We can do this podcast. We're going to say dedicated to the lovely Lady London. And happy birthday, baby. Hope your adult life is as charmed as your childhood one.
Great birthday wishes.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Nothing, not a lot going on. Not that I've heard.
You know, no. It seems like our two esteemed subjects, Tom and Johnny, are in the middle of projects.
Not necessarily. I was talking about Tom. Johnny, however, has made the front page once again.
How so?
Oh, he's dating one of his UK lawyers.
What?
Yep.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious. He's dating one of his, one of the lawyers that worked with him in the UK.
This charmed bastard.
I'm telling you, man, he cannot. I don't know how he stayed single as long as he has. Because as we discovered doing The Many Loves of Johnny Depp, he does not stay single. Yeah. Ever.
And you know, after everything he went through in the last year with the legal people, I bet she's actually a very sweet person.
You bet she's what?
A very sweet person.
Oh, I'm sure she is.
Yeah.
You know, you would have to be to deal with, well, number one, a superstar.
What?
You would have to have the patience of Job. And, you know, I mean, I just, I probably couldn't do it.
Well, and you know, his legal team was on point.
They really were.
They got him through it. So.
Now, we're not talking about the legal team that was here in the States.
Yeah,
she was
right.
Not involved with that particular trial. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But, yeah. Oh, Barry's birthday is coming up as well, November 11th. So.
Our benefactor.
So, guys, everybody say happy birthday to Barry. Go to his website. Wish him a happy birthday. Tell him we sent you.
Yep.
But, yeah. Okay, so. I do believe I busted my ass this week, actually about the last 3 days, to try to find links between our Marvel Universe actors and our other favorite person, Johnny Depp. I was way more successful than I ever assumed I would be.
So you learned a lot.
Oh, my God. Way too much. I mean, I was looking up short films. I was looking up British TV shows. I was looking up, because of some of the titles that kept coming through, I was not familiar with, and I thought I was pretty conversant with Johnny's material, you know?
Yeah.
Apparently not. Apparently there is a whole niche that I had not even thought to look at. So, yeah, I really have been working. Yeah, people say, oh, you're sitting in front of the computer. That's not work. Try it sometime for about 15 hours a day.
Well, knowing what I know about the project, and let's face it, this is kind of a project.
It is. It's going to be continue. I mean, this is not something that we can just, oh, it's done, and we put it on the shelf and let it sit. No.
Well, you know, when we did the casual suggestion, how are these two connected? Obviously, it's a pretty deep rabbit hole, huh?
Oh, very. And I do believe I am going to start posting. I've got 45, yes, ladies and gentlemen, 45 entries already to post for the connections between Johnny Depp and Tom Hiddleston. Only Johnny Depp and Tom Hiddleston, not the other MCU characters.
Right. I have 45. And to be clear, the connections that we're talking about here are people.
Movie connections.
And films, yes.
Yes,
right.
We're not talking about personal connections.
Right.
Which, you know, I'm sure we could probably come up with another 200 or 300 or so if we went that route. But I'm talking strictly movies.
Okay.
Think 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. Everybody knows that game.
Right. And so we're doing degrees of separation between Johnny and
Tom.
Tom.
But today we're actually focusing on the entire, which we really should have known better, MCU cast.
Okay, so, and also maybe reiterate, you had to focus on MCU because you had to pick a place to start because this is a vast project. I had no idea.
Oh, neither did I. When I was like, oh, yeah, we could do that next week. Sure. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, no, right.
I would need closer to 3 months or so to prepare for this, really prepare. I'm flying by the seat of my pants tonight, so don't expect too much. But
so, yeah, we need to basically really consider this is just a small section.
Oh, yeah, this is just a little bit.
Right. MCU is the most interesting section.
Oh, of course.
The MCU. You got it. You got it.
So.
But, wow.
So, don't make it too obscure, but give me an MCU, actor. And I will.
Directly?
Yep. I'm getting you into it directly. You are going to give me an MCU actor, and I will tell you how they're connected to Johnny Depp.
All right, and so, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's see if my research is worth its salt.
Let's start with Chris Evans, Captain America.
Chris Evans, all right, give me just a second.
And then we'll move to the next Chris.
All right, Chris Evans. Oh, come on, where are you? There you are. Okay, Chris Evans actually did a movie called The Nanny Diaries. In that movie was a man by the name of Paul Giamatti, who was also in Donnie Brasco. Thank you.
Right.
Got another one?
Okay, Chris Hemsworth.
Okay. Let's see. All right. He was in a movie called The Cabin in the Woods with Richard Jenkins, who was in The Rum Diary.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Cabin in the Woods?
Yes.
I forgot he was in there. And you know what? That's a Josh Whedon movie.
Yes, it is.
And I believe there's a Josh Whedon connection.
Let me check. I have all of the...
you're going to get a bunch of hits.
Okay, let's see. Josh Whedon.
Yeah.
He was in The Avengers with Paul Bettany, who is also in The Tourist.
Wow,
and
actually,
as well as movie. Mordecai and Transcendence, but, you know.
all right, counting. So that would, I had no idea that would be the, okay.
How about Kenneth Branagh?
Sure.
Murder on the Orient Express.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I did not put down the name of the, I've got it somewhere, hang on. Give me a second. Doo-doo-doo. I have everything on computer now. Hey, I'm actually getting smart.
With a computer, now you're a journalist.
Oh, no, that's why I don't have a connect. That's why there's no connection, because it doesn't have to be a connection. He is the connection. Kenneth Branagh has connected to both directly.
Yeah, he gets to kind of check the box for actor and director, right?
Right, yeah. But, I mean, we're not just looking at actors. We're looking at movie crews. We're looking at... I even want to get into costume designers, directors, lighting, techs. Oh, wow. And I want to get into all of it, because there are, everything that is done on these movies is so spectacular. You know, these guys have got to have a name for themselves in their particular field.
Yeah, set designers.
Set designers, musicians, even.
Wow, right.
So, and you're, you know. Right,
the costume designers.
Costume designers are killer. Speaking of which, you know how Johnny looks a bit darker than everyone else in the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's a reason for that.
Why?
They had to darken the makeup extravagantly for it to show in the cave scenes when they were actually filming in a cave.
Right. For the effect.
For the effect. So in order for them to appear normal, the makeup had to be darkened significantly.
Gotcha.
Well, it was only supposed to be used for inside the cave. Until the other actresses and other women on the set saw Johnny out in full daylight with the darkened makeup and decided, oh no, it needed to be all the time.
Wow. Right.
Yep, that is exactly why. And the reason that his eyes look like they give off almost a blue sheen.
So he was doing contact lenses.
Yes, he was. He was doing contact lenses so he could look in the direction of the sun without being blinded.
Nice. And it was a cool look.
Yeah, it was. Hey, absolutely spectacular.
Can I throw one at you that I think is going to throw you for a... I've got three.
All right, go for it.
Jeremy Renner.
Okay.
Our man Hawkeye. How was he connected to Johnny Depp?
Give me a second. I got everything in alphabetical order.
Wow, that is deep research.
He was in a movie called Lords of Dogtown with Shea Whingham, who was in City of Lies with Johnny Depp.
Shit. All right. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, how does Johnny Depp connect with Tom Holland?
Tom Holland. Okay.
Second best Spider-Man. He's doing a great job, but he's no Tobey Maguire. I'm just saying.
He was in a movie called Locke with Ruth Wilson, who was also in The Lone Ranger.
Ah, so he gets the connection with The Lone Ranger.
Yes. Oh, there is connections from everything. Even Private Resort is connected in here. And Johnny hates that movie.
Oh, my God. Who was that other actor, I wonder? All right, I got one for you. Anthony Mackie.
Okay.
Falcon / Captain America. Anthony Mackie.
He was in a movie called Wetlands with Heather Graham, who was in From Hell.
Oh, that is a serious heart connection.
Yep.
One more. You're like Stevie Nicks over there. All right, so your witchiness.
Absolutely.
Then Samuel Jackson with Johnny Depp.
All right, let me find him. Got to remember my alphabet here.
You know there's...
He was in RoboCop with Jackie Earle Haley, who was in Dark Shadows.
Oh, my God. Amazing. Okay.
Did I not say I had just spent the last 15 out of 24 hours sitting in front of this computer? Got another one?
I'm going to stump this.
Okay. You might.
Try Sebastian Stan.
I've got him. Hang on.
No, you don't.
I do. Where are you? I know you're
in here. And after this, I'm almost tapped out.
Sebastian Stan was in a movie called Hot Tub Time Machine with Crispin Glover, who was in What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Oh, my God, he was in Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yep. I really want to see that movie just from the title.
You've not seen Hot Tub Time Machine?
No, do we get to see his ass?
Oh, babe, yeah.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
For children of the 80s, I've got to punch this card for you.
Yes, definitely. So we'll have to make that a thing on the to-do list when I come up.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. Yeah, guys, next week's podcast might be either a little early or a little late. We're not sure which, because I am headed out of town. I'm going to go and spend some time with our co-host here. And so I don't know if we're going to wait until after I get there to do the show when we're in the same room, or if we're just going to go ahead and record it beforehand, and so you guys don't have to wait. So we'll have to wait.
Do a live.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Shit, if I get there early enough Thursday night, we can all get it together and get the kids involved.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. This was actually, researching this one was actually a lot of fun. So I'm thinking I'm going to do Tom Hiddleston connected to Tim Burton movies next. Because I could do the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. But that's just too broad. I realize that doing the MCU, it's too broad. Way too broad. So I'm going to focus on the 8 movies that Johnny Depp and Tim Burton did together. And see what connections I can draw between those guys.
All right. Yeah, let's see.
Definitely. You got any other questions?
You mean some more matches?
I've got, and this is what really floored me. All right, the linking, let's just say the linking actor. Okay, the actor that links the two, Johnny Depp with whoever. There are some really awesome names here. Let's see. Let me run all the way up to the top of my list here. All right.
I've got one that's going to break you.
Okay.
This is going to break you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Donald Glover, loved him in Community, loved him in ATL, loved him as Childish Gambino.
Okay.
And he's the new Lando Calrissian.
Okay.
Donald Glover, actually with either of these guys, Tom Hiddleston and Johnny Depp.
Okay, it's gonna take me a minute. Give me a second. Okay, Donald Glover?
Yeah?
Okay, hang on. Give me a second, because he's not in the MCU, is he?
I don't know. To my knowledge, he is not. However, he's part of Disney.
I thought about expanding it to all of Disney, but it was too much.
Well, that happens, and you end up with an obsession. I know you and your research.
Yes, I do get obsessed. My fingers aren't working today.
See, I'm picking guys that are at least in their 30s. I need to start picking these young actors.
Donald Glover, all right.
To trip you up. But you are definitely killing it on this assignment, ma'am.
I try. Is it Donald Glover?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if there's anything to find. Absolutely.
What?
Donald Glover was in Lennon or McCartney with Haley Joel Osment, who was in Tusk with Johnny Depp.
What? Oh my
God. Hey guys, if y'all have been listening and have our phone number, feel free to call in. You know, this show will be over by the time you do so, but you still may be able to stump me. I'd love to see you try.
Donald Glover, man, I can't believe it.
Okay, I'm going to blow your mind even further. Give me just a second.
Yeah, all you know, right. Glover was in Spider-Man Homecoming. He was Prowler.
Alrighty. Well, yep, that's exactly what popped up. I was going to blow your mind by giving you a link to Tom Hiddleston as well. Donald Glover in Spider-Man Homecoming with Robert Downey Jr., who was in Infinity War with...
Well, with Tom.
Yep. So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow, this does really connect. Interesting.
It certainly does. And I'm getting a whole new appreciation for actors and actresses not losing their minds and beating the shit out of people who hire the actors and actresses that they absolutely despise working with. Because it's a small world. I mean, you know, you've got to have everything I've ever heard about both Tom and Johnny. He's wonderful to work with. He knows his lines. He never has a problem. He's always great. He's in a good mood, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, there are some that a lot of Hollywood would rather not deal with. You know, but those people are going to show up in movies. And, you know, because their demand is high. So... You know,
people
want to
see
you. Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine having to work with, or having to do this kind of work with those same people that I really just could not stand. I just,
to a lot of these production companies' credits, you're so right. I'm learning that it's kind of a small world, certainly with the talent and the actors, but... It's really made me appreciate the production people, you know, set designers, location crew. This has got to be a diverse, huge community that really works with each other.
Oh, yeah. You have to. I mean, if you don't, the whole thing's going to fall apart. It gives me a whole brand new appreciation, as if I didn't have enough admiration for the woman, for Mia Wasikowski?
Wasikowski, yeah.
Yeah, because she did all of this on her own. She does not have an acting background. Her parents do not have acting backgrounds. She hounded an agent until they gave her a shot, and now she's in the big leagues. And she has acted with both of our guys, not once, but twice. So, you know, it gives me a whole new appreciation for the single-mindedness and the absolute dedication she had to have in order to make this work for her.
All right, Luke Jane. This is the last one. This is the last one. God, ladies and gentlemen, I'm doing this for you. We are going to break Jen's research. All right, so put in, and she's young, and that's what's great. She was in Midsommar. She's Black Widow's pseudo sister in the Black Widow.
I already got the link.
Florence Pugh. What? No, yep. No.
Who do you want her connected to? Tom Hiddleston's too easy.
Yeah, to Deb.
Okay, so Johnny, and what's her name?
Florence Pugh. P-U-G-H. Great actress.
Florence with an F as in Frank?
Yep. Florence.
You said P-E-U-G-H?
P-U-G-H.
P-U-G-H. Okay. Okay, she was in Black Widow with David Harbour, who was in Black Mass with Johnny Depp.
Whoa! That guy was in Black Mass? Jen, actually, honest, and we've talked about this a little bit before we did this broadcast. It seems like we need to watch Black Mass.
I've seen it. I have seen it. It's a terrifying movie.
Well, I have seen it too, but I think we need to, I mean.
We need to rewatch it because there's a lot of people popping up that I didn't realize that Benedict Cumberbatch.
That kills me. That blows my mind.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to see this movie again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that just floors me. I mean, I would call myself calling out the MCU actors in different movies, but I don't remember him.
Yeah, well, I guess it was more of an ensemble cast than I remembered. So, Jen, with this research that you've done, have you noticed, I mean, Black Mass seems to come up a lot.
Yes.
Have you seen a few other projects that just kind of pop up from either actor that, seems more common?
Actually, because we're focusing on Depp, which is why Depp's movies seem more common.
Yeah, sure. Can you throw a few more out?
I'm seeing a lot of Transcendence. I'm seeing, believe it or not, a lot of Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal.
Okay, we got to put a pin in that. Okay.
Let's see. Transcendence comes up a lot. So does Murder on the Orient Express. That comes up quite a bit.
Known as an ensemble cast.
And there's two that pop up with quite a bit of frequency that I was very surprised at. One is called The Dead Man. And the other is The Brave. Now, neither one of those films got any recognition whatsoever. They were called stupid and boring and trite and a bunch of other just really not helpful.
I've never heard those titles before. Are they older movies?
Oh yeah. Let's see. The Brave. Let's see. Hang on. Dead Man was 1995. And The Brave was 1997.
I think I remember Dead Man.
But I've seen them both.
Okay.
Now, Dead Man is not what people go to the movies to watch because it does not have a happy ending.
No. It's awful through the whole thing, really.
Oh, yeah, it really is. And, at the very end, you realize that he could have enjoyed himself much more and worried a whole lot less and still come to the same final result. So, but that's one of the reasons why it did not get the accolades I think it should have. Because the acting was,
because
Disney spoiled us. Disney ruined our lives, man. We have to have a happy ending. I mean, really, we have to have a happy ending. Oh, here's one I really liked. Kat Dennings.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
she's involved with Depp?
don't say that about another woman. Ever.
As a disclaimer, I'm not trying to get a legal case going here.
Uh-huh. No, I just love this one because of the name of the movie she was in.
Mm-hmm.
She was in a movie called The House Bunny with Monet Mazur, who was in Blow.
No, I remember The House Bunny. Yeah, Bruce Willis and Demi Moore's daughter Rumor was in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think Anna Faris.
Okay.
Who was married to Chris Pratt?
And another that pops up quite with some frequency is Sherlock Gnomes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I cannot pronounce the man's name. The man who plays Mordo in the Doctor Strange movies.
And is going to be an amazing, amazing villain one day.
Oh, God, yes. But I'm not going to try to pronounce his name because he would probably turn villain, hunt me down, and kill me because there's no way I could pronounce it properly. So,
he is Mordo.
He is Mordo. Yeah. He was in Sherlock Gnomes.
Yeah.
Yep.
What a ledge for. Yeah.
Oh, man.
A British guy.
Let's see. A movie called Joe Strummer. The future is unknown. Or future is unwritten.
Okay.
That pops up with some frequency.
Okay. Why? Joe Strummer was the lead for The Clash that 80s funk band that every fucking Brit just worships. So the cool people are going to be involved in this film.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so who was in this film?
I do not know. Let's see.
It popped up a lot.
Let's see. I'm trying to pull it back up. I just passed it. Steve Buscemi is one of the links.
Right.
He's actually a link for Jon Favreau. Jon Favreau was in G-Force with Steve Buscemi, who was in Joe Strummer with Johnny Depp.
Yep. Nice.
Yep.
And I can totally see Steve Buscemi being friends with Jon Favreau.
And Johnny Depp.
And Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's just generally funny looking. Sorry, I'm still not...
There were that many people involved in a movie having to do with one of the quintessential British punk rockers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and to answer your question, Clark Gregg, who played Agent Coulson, was in a movie called Magnolia with Michael Bowen, who was in Private Resort with Johnny Depp. Can you breathe?
Back, this is the most crazy connection.
Oh, I loved Anthony Hopkins' connection.
Okay, what is it?
You ever heard of a movie called The Lion in Winter?
Think so?
Yeah. It's right along. Anthony Hopkins was in it. He acted in it with Timothy Dalton, who was in The Tourist.
Yeah, that's another one we need to watch. There's a lot of British, kind of freak out over a couple of American actors, but you're right. The British actors, of course, Tom is classically trained and he's going to work with a lot of these people, but Depp has worked with a lot of these classically trained actors.
And most of them, I'm not going to say all because,
not all.
But most of them actually have nothing but good things to say about him.
I really can't think of an enemy of Johnny Depp.
I just want to see if, because Tommy Lee Jones is not one for mainstream acting much anymore.
Not anymore.
All right. But he does have a One Step Away connection with Johnny Depp. Can you imagine what that might be? What or who?
So, Tommy Lee Jones, I'm going to cheese out and go with Men in Black.
Nope.
Okay, wait. The Fugitive movie.
Which one? The movie called The Fugitive?
No. The second one. The one with Benicio Del Toro.
I'm not sure about that one, but no, it's The Comeback Trail.
What?
Yeah. Morgan Freeman was in The Comeback Trail. He was also in Transcendence with Johnny Depp.
Freaking Transcendence. Yes.
Transcendence pops up quite a bit. So does... Oh, and here's a really cool connection. The woman who plays Mantis? Well, everybody knows that everybody wanted Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci as Morticia and Gomez Adams. Well, the woman who played Mantis, Palm Clemente. Yeah. She was in the Addams Family with Chloe Grace Moritz, who was in Dark Shadows.
Gonna have to go back and revisit that one.
Yep. Oh, John Malkovich is even in this.
How does John Malkovich, to Johnny Depp, I can see it, but to Tom Hiddleston.
Okay, Tom Malkovich, or John Malkovich, acted with Evangeline Lilly in a movie called Afterwards. She played Hope Van Dyne in the Ant-Man movies.
Never heard of it.
You never heard of the Ant-Man movies?
Oh, well, she played Wasp, but yeah. I haven't heard of this movie that she did with...
It's called Afterwards. Well, nobody's ever heard of any of John Malkovich's movies.
Oh, my God.
But he was also in The Libertine.
Oh, dude. Oh. We're going to have to go back and listen to this podcast just because
Because we're going to have to write down all the movies we need to watch.
We need to watch The Libertine again.
Oh, yeah. I love that movie, but I hated it at the same time.
I never finished it. There was an emergency.
Yeah.
So I'd love to watch that in full.
Yeah.
But The Libertine, interesting.
Yeah, and it's based, of course, on, as a lot of the movies Johnny has done recently, it's based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the man dies of syphilis, so...
Yeah, well...
Oh, here's another... Mads Mikkelsen was in Sherlock Gnomes.
Yeah, oh.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He was in Polar with Matt Lucas, who was in Sherlock Gnomes.
Yeah, now, Polar was a great film. And I love Mads.
Oh, Mads is awesome.
I think he was a very underappreciated villain in the first, you know, people kind of forgot about him. But he looked great. He was menacing.
But he was so kind of not trying to be at the same time. I mean, he was goofing off and joking with, you know, I mean, it's strange. Is it? I don't know. I don't judge. I mean, come on.
it would have been weak, you know. I respect the Doctor Strange movies because we're talking about pure magic. You know, you can basically bend reality. And how do you make that even a fight? And they kind of pull it off. But that being said, for story, you know, they've...
But they
made some
compromise. Yeah, he was a great villain because he had all of the perfect points for being a villain. He did not give a shit about who he hurt or what happened.
Great backstory.
It was all about what he wanted and how he could make that happen. And that's it. That's the mark of a good villain. If a villain starts caring... He's not a villain anymore. You know, he's an anti-hero.
Yeah,
oh, whatever.
Yes, by default. And you're right. And it is a whatever.
Yeah.
I just kind of started caring. That doesn't erase
what
he did. And it doesn't mean necessarily that it's going to be a redemption arc.
Right. But most of the time nowadays, it is.
Have you been watching the Venom movies?
I've watched the first one and I loved it.
Okay, so do they pull off Venom being an anti-hero? Because the Venom that I grew up with and kind of
okay, the Venom that I grew up with was freaking evil.
Awful. He was one of the worst villains.
Oh yeah, he was absolutely evil. It wasn't the fact that he was being mean because he enjoyed being mean. He was just fucking evil.
So, do they basically pull it off in these? And you know, we should actually do an episode where we compare these Sony movies, you know.
Oh, no. No, you do not. You will have to mark me absent that day.
Oh, why?
Oh, because the Sony movies, with the exception of one that I can think of, suck balls. Sorry. But, yeah, no.
Hey, I'm not going to disagree, but I'm still like...
Ladies and gentlemen,
I think we've kind of found a sensitive spot with our hostess.
Growl, snort, rip.
Uh-oh. We should consider the connections. don't know. Actually,
should I remind you of something my mom and dad both used to tell me? Honey, please, don't poke the bear.
Okay.
But getting back to the original conversation, if you did not grow up reading the Venom comics, if you did not grow up with the preconceived notion of who Venom is and how he's going to act, then yes, the movie is just phenomenal. There is nothing better. It is awesome. But if you grew up with those comics, yeah, you're looking at the movie going, that's a really great story. But no.
I mean, he used to eat brains. You know, I mean,
right.
Now we're making him, you know, the Punisher is an anti-hero. Maybe Wolverine or what have you.
Wolverine, Black Widow, Scarlet Witch even sometimes.
Oh my God, yeah, she was an assassin.
Yeah.
You know, oh, and Scarlet Witch, we all know.
Oh, yeah.
And WandaVision was based off of, yeah.
However, right. comic book Scarlet Witch would never have acted the way she did in Multiverse of Madness. So, just putting that out there.
And you are correct. But, you know, a lot of the MCU is kind of expanding to the point to where it's very popular and a lot of people are going back to the source material and stuff that, and I'm not trying to blow our horns, but we read these comics that they're pulling this.
No, you're trying not to point out our age. But
well, I'm not trying to point out. Yeah, but that being said, we kind of know these characters.
Well, I mean, we had these comic books for breakfast, man. I mean,
well, that being said, Johnny Depp kind of has an interesting advantage in that when you and I were growing up, the Pirates of the Caribbean was a ride at Disney World and Disneyland,
yep.
And they get to write in the 21st century a fantastic, and they pulled it off.
For a little while. I'm not a big fan of the last couple of movies, so.
I loved the first one, and I saw the second one because Bill Nighy, you know.
Oh, God, gotta love him.
Right. And, you know, and I will say this publicly, and I apologize to you personally, Jen, and the audience, but I didn't see the last two movies.
Hey, there's no problem with that. I saw the first three, and I liked the first one the best. I liked the third one second best. Because I love the way that it ended. I thought it was great. Johnny sacrificed being able to be immortal to give it to Orlando Bloom's character so that he could, you know, save his father and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
But the ones after that, I don't know, two, three, I don't know how many they've made because, no, I walked out. I paid $15 for the ticket and then popcorn and then soda. Oh, yeah, I walked the hell out of that theater after about 20 minutes. Yeah, no.
Wow.
I'm not watching that crap. It's ridiculous.
You're a real fan.
Oh, man. It was just, no. And anybody wants to sit there and go, yeah, Johnny was playing that one, you know. He was just, you know, just going through the motions. Wouldn't you? If somebody took your character and turned them into this freaking moron, wouldn't you just be like, okay, fine, I'm here, I'm under contract, but I don't have to do shit.
You know, if you don't mind my interjection, I noticed that Johnny was doing very much like Sean Connery was doing at the end of the Bond films.
He
was just like, they're paying me $5 million. I'm just going to dial it in. You know?
Yep. And I don't blame him for it. I'm sorry. They sat there and said, okay, here's the character. You know, flesh him out, make him yours. You know, become Captain Jack Sparrow, and we'll see you on set. He said, fine, and he did just that. So then when he gets on set and starts acting as Jack Sparrow, oh, no, 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 no. This is not what we had in mind. This is not what we want. That's not what you told me. You said, here is the character. Operate within these parameters. And that's what I did. If you don't like it, fire me. Well, of course, they couldn't do that because he was under contract. So they had to let him have his way with the first three movies, which is why the first three are better than the rest of them. But yeah. So, you know, don't give someone the makings for a sandwich.
Right.
And tell them to make a sandwich however they want to. And then turn around and bitch at them because you don't like the sandwich they made. You see what I'm saying?
So, yeah. Well, did they turn over that much creative control?
Yes. Yes,
initially, and
they
then
did.
They started to rein them in.
Oh, yes, that they did. Because Disney, when they saw the first cut of the movie, said, oh, no. No, no. No, 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 no. We cannot have a rum-addled, drunken sailor
as
Captain Jack Sparrow. Okay, wait. He's a pirate.
Franchise.
He's a pirate captain. That's what he does. Really? You didn't consider this when you were
right.
creating the movie? Really? Oh, come on now.
Right.
So, yeah, Disney was not happy, and they used any excuse to get rid of him, which is what they did. So, you know, good luck to you,
wow.
Disney, but I doubt anyone will watch Pirates of the Caribbean ever again without Johnny Depp.
Well, if so... And, you know, going back to, have you heard any news?
Okay.
This is kind of speculation. And from what I understand, he's not really interested in the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, but the Harry Potter role that he did with the Fantastic Beasts.
Yes.
He's talking
Gellert
about
Grindelwald.
So,
he's
what's the story?
He's not the only one talking about it.
They kind of outed him.
Well,
you know, people that are involved,
Mads Mikkelsen would not confirm or deny. However, he did say that Johnny Depp fans were grudgingly accepting of him in the role, but it was very clear where their true loyalties lie. And, you know, he had no problem stepping back and giving the role back up to Johnny. He said he'd never seen someone that could perform as Gellert Grindelwald any better than Johnny could. He said there was no way he could adapt that character into something that he could play. So he had to leave that one alone and just come out, you know, brand new, which is kind of odd with the whole, you know, series thing going on. But yeah, he said he would have no trouble stepping back at all. He said the role was Johnny's. It was always Johnny's. If he decides he wants it, it's still Johnny's. So.
Well, you know, right. And you, whenever a beloved actor leaves a spot and you rehire somebody, it does come down to this guy is obviously a great actor, but we kind of want him to ape.
Well, you cannot help but be resentful of the other actor because they're taking the place of the one you want to see up there.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and hey, that's unfortunate.
It really is, but
it's not the same guy.
I mean, it's human nature, but it is still unfortunate because Mads is fantastic. I love the man and everything he does. I've never seen a movie he's in that I don't like his character.
Agreed. He was amazing in Hannibal. He actually was as just a good Hannibal Lecter as Anthony Hopkins.
Oh my God, yes. I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah, right. And, you know, I watched a few episodes and I'm like, nah, this guy, he's very adequate.
Oh, yeah. Adequate my ass. You were saying a lot more than adequate.
This is definitely satisfying. Yeah, this is definitely satisfying my expectations of Hannibal Lecter. You know, and I want to give Mads a compliment by him saying, look, I'm not, you know.
I cannot. He actually said, I cannot fill Johnny Depp's shoes.
Exactly. And you know they asked him, you're going to have to replace Johnny Depp. You're going to have to kind of ape this character.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
And he did not. He took it and did his own thing with it. And that is absolutely fantastic.
You know, and respect. And if Johnny comes back, he's like, and I'll give it back to the proper shoes.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, you know, I don't know that Johnny would come back without at least a public apology.
So, what's the hype about Johnny stepping back into this role? You know,
they have said that
he's not doing the Pirates of the Caribbean, but
there's not a lot of noise coming from his corner at all. And I mean nothing. It's not like he's, oh yeah, right. But it's not like he's saying, okay, you know, I'll come back if you do this, this, and this. No, there is like nothing coming from his corner. There is silence. And that tells me he knows he's got the upper hand. And they know what he wants. They'll either give it to him or they won't. And, you know, they'll go from there. But, you know, he's been vindicated. He has been exonerated. And for all of those haters out there that, oh, we got to put him on the back burner until we get this straightened out because it's PC. You know what? I swear to God, the only part about the 80s I wish was still around today was nobody gave a fuck about political correctness. You had George Carlin talking about the 7 words you can't say on television. You had George Carlin making fun of religion and the Ten Commandments. Hello? You know, you didn't have PC in the 80s. And I wish to God we didn't know what the hell it was now.
Right. Yep.
But, yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I would love to see him step back in as Grindelwald. He was amazing. As Grindelwald, he's amazing in all of his, you know, well, there's a few exceptions.
He looks cool, actually. I don't know anything about the Harry Potter movies. And I don't know who this Grindelwald fellow is.
Dude, you never read the books?
That being said, he looked really, I haven't read, I've been to Universal and done the Harry Potter stuff.
Oh my God, all right.
We had the full 5-day pass, and I was like, I love these rides.
We're going to rectify that when I move to Mobile. You know that, right?
Many have tried.
Oh, honey.
All have failed.
None are me.
Oh.
I think Carrie's taking a break for a moment.
Well, that being said, that means you're going to have to finish watching Watchmen.
Sure.
I'm sorry for that.
Oh, come on. It's a good movie.
Sure.
I'll even watch The Guys with you.
What? The Guys?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'll just take the football, actually. I really appreciate it for that. Anyway.
Oh, please. I don't like football because of you.
Yeah, that's why I
want to
watch football with you.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, Carrie decided he was going to explain some of the plays to the little woman.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
Yeah. Meanwhile, she grew up with Georgia football. Anyway. So, you know, from this assignment, I have definitely appreciated Johnny's age.
And
the people that he's worked with, he's got a much bigger resume. Tom, when we start getting into an additional 10 years, he is so deeply connected early that he could have a greater connection at what Johnny's age is now.
Well, and the biggest, I see a lot of similarities between our guys, but the biggest difference that I see is that Johnny uses work to escape life.
Mm-hmm.
Tom uses life to escape work.
Right.
So, right. You know, take from that what you will.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I mean, I've noticed that. I study human nature. I study people. I tend to pretty much know what anybody's thinking at any given time. I'm usually pretty good at that. But yeah, these two are polar opposites in the way that they use work. So.
And that really is kind of the basis of this podcast. I do love the duality.
Oh, yes. Got to have polar opposites.
Right.
I mean, hell.
Yeah, you know, I can see Tom being like a Laurence Olivier, Oliver Reed, you know, one of these English actors, a Barrymore, you know, that gets into his 80s, you know, Sir John Galgood. You know,
nope, I could see it more like Sean Connery.
Oh, right, Sean Connery.
Much absolutely. More like Sean Connery.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Who is another one of my favorite actors, by the way? Oh, I have to check that before we let y'all go, because we've still got 5 minutes.
There's no way Tom Hiddleston is connected to Sean Connery.
Bet me.
Maybe.
Bet me. I said bet me. BETME. Bet me.
Actually, I thought you said Bettany, like Paul Bettany, and I'll bet you that's where the connection is.
Tom Hiddleston and Sean Connery. No. Quit being a doofus. Thank you. My computer's being stupid.
We're blowing the computer's mind. This inquest.
1 degree. Tom Hiddleston was in Thor with Stellan Skarsgård, who was in Hunt for Red October with Sean Connery. Booyah!
Oh, Jesus Christ. Fucking Stellan Skarsgård. He's too old!
And he's in everything!
He really is. Oh, my God.
Oh, he is one of the greatest unsung actors of our time. I loved him in Deep Blue Sea. I loved him. Oh, I loved him in Deep Blue Sea. He was awesome. Oh, he's one of the most brilliant men alive. He's pissing into the wind.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
And, of course, he was the first victim. In Deep Blue Sea. I love that movie. Oh, yeah, I was sitting there with my mother. She had never seen it before, and I had. So it comes up to that point where the shark jumps out of the tank and, you know, grabs his arm. And so she's got her drink in her hand and a cigarette in the other. And I'm like, Mom, put your drink down. She's like, why? Just do it. She's like, oh, fine. So no sooner had she set the drink on the table than the shark pops up, grabs his arm. She jumped. Arms go flying. Drink would have gone all over me, all over the floor. I was like, yeah, see? Aren't you glad you listened to me?
Good preventative.
This is what happens when people listen to me. But see, that's the problem. Nobody ever listens to me.
Love Samuel Jackson's speech, and then he got eaten. It was great.
Oh, that was amazing. Like, now we're going to stop fighting and learn how to get along, chump.
Yeah.
It was great. Oh, there's another degree. Samuel L. Jackson.
If you want to count Sony movies, the head, the male lead of that movie was Thomas Jane, and he was the Punisher. In the Sony movies with John Travolta.
Aha.
Do we count those?
I don't know. I didn't put them in my search, so.
Most people, when you talk about the MCU, we're not talking about, like, X-Men with Halle Berry and, you know, Hugh Jackman.
Oh, I got one for you. Hmm. Mark Ruffalo.
With Depp.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Something artsy. I don't know. Please.
He was in All the King's Men with Gary Grubbs, who was in The Astronaut's Wife. And one more, and then we'll sign off because it's getting late. Kurt Russell.
Ooh, so he was in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Uh-huh.
How was he involved with Depp?
You're going to kick yourself in the ass when you hear this one.
I don't know.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Al Pacino and Donnie Brasco.
Oh! Wow.
Oh, yeah. Keep tuning in, guys. I'll be here all week.
And you know what? That is how we basically connect Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio to the MCU.
Actually, Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio are connected through Robert Downey Jr.
You're like, nah, I got a shortcut. Yeah, your research is really good this
Johnny
week.
Depp, Brad Pitt, Robert Downey Jr. and Leonardo DiCaprio used to hang out.
Like, just hanging out?
Yeah, they used to be buds. They used to be friends. They used to hang out. Especially when Johnny was part owner of the Viper Club. Which, of course, all ended when River Phoenix decided to take a nosedive off a shore pier.
Yeah.
Yeah, they finally tore that place down. Did you hear?
Yeah.
Yep, they tore the building down and everything. I was just really sad. Of course, you know, they did the same thing to the smokestacks here, so.
Yeah, you know, CBGB's, yeah, still around. The Viper Room could have been somebody.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys, well, we hope we have kept you entertained at the very least. And
indeed.
Hopefully you've learned something a little bit, like I did when I was doing this research.
I was about to assure that you learned something.
And seriously, questions, comments, think you can stump me? Please try. I'd love it.
Break her research, yes.
I would love it. Hang on one second. Let me pull up our phone number so I can get that out to y'all once again. All right, the Depheads and Hiddlestoners dedicated line is 765-681-7313. So you don't feel like emailing? Fine, give us a call. We'll give you a call back, either me or Carrie one. If you've got a message for Barry, give us a call. I'll get him the message, and we'll hope he calls you back. He is a very, very busy guy, though, so.
Right.
But yeah, we've got that. We've got the Depheads and Hiddlestoners email at depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. We've got the blog, which is depheadshiddlestoners.com, or you can go through barryreese.net and hit the link. Anything else besides the fact that we need to get Carrie to upload his information on the blog?
Yeah, and send me a text tomorrow. Yes, I still got the invite.
No, baby, I'll just handcuff you to your chair when I get there until you upload it.
And make me do it. Yes.
Absolutely. But yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll definitely make sure you get it done, darling.
Thank you.
All right, guys. I hope you had as much fun listening as we had recording. Catch us next time. We've got 50, 51, and then 52 is going to be the blowout. Hopefully, we're going to get Barry on the line as well. So, you know, because he was the one that helped us get this thing started. So, anyway, catch you next time. Catch us next week.
Love and peace.
Absolutely. Choose love, not war. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.